Turn your Bibles to Exodus. Exodus chapter 20. Doing something a little unusual this morning. I'm preaching on one verse. Sometimes it's 40 or 50, but today one verse, okay? A lot's in this verse, and we'll be considering other passages, but Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7. As we consider this third commandment of the Ten Commandments. Follow along as I read verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Let's pray. Father, we lift up your name today as holy, awesome, and mighty. And I pray that as we consider this particular command, that we might learn how better to apply it and how better to avoid doing what this command urges us not to do. Guide us in our thoughts together in Jesus' name. Amen. A single verse, but very powerful. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. If you've not had an opportunity to follow us as we've started the series on the Ten Commandments, as we're working our way through this book, I encourage you to go back to the website, to the podcasts or whatever you might call it, to the website there to look and to listen, especially to Jonathan's last message. It was fantastic. He did a great job of really covering and making it clear the meaning of the second command. And so today, as we look at this particular command, we notice it's given in the negative. You shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. I believe it's the NIV that says, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. So we're going to kind of be using those phrases, not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, or not misuse, synonymously throughout this particular sermon. But the idea here is we are not to take his name in vain. We are not to consider the name of God as worthless or treat it as if it's empty or nothing. The positive side of that is what I've entitled my message, honor the name of the Lord your God. It goes on in this text and tells us, because he will punish the one who takes his name in vain, or he will hold him guilty who takes his name in vain. We're going to consider three things this morning. We're going to look and see that misusing the name of the Lord is a big deal to God. All right? So if you're filling in your main points, you can at least get them at this time. But stay with us. So it is a big deal to misuse the name of the Lord. Second, we're going to consider some possible ways that we misuse the name of the Lord. And this may be new for you. It's more, by the way, and we're going to consider that in a moment. It's more than just blasphemy. And we're going to be talking about that. Number three, we will note that there is a warning associated with the misusing or the misuse of the name of the Lord. So we're going to consider that warning just briefly. We're going to really zero in on point number two, and that's why we've kind of expanded that second point so much. But let's go into number one in our outlines. Misusing or taking the name of the Lord in vain is a big deal. We will see why in just a moment. But I want you to think of Colin Smith, who writes a book on the Ten Commandments, and I encourage you to get a hold of it. Fantastic book. He says this, the way that you use a person's name says a great deal about what you think of them. I'd like to give you kind of maybe a sad or a funny illustration of that. Back in high school, we had a girl on our bus in my hometown in upstate New York that was a very annoying girl. You probably all have people like that in your life, but this one in particular was really annoying. She would get under the skin of everyone. And so her name was Linda, okay? I don't know where she is today, I don't know, but I just know at that particular time, she was a real pain and annoying. And so we started making fun of her by changing her name to Lindy. Don't ask me why, it just happened that way, okay? Instead of Linda, it's Lindy. And so I don't think we really did it to her face, or, you know, but it was kind of the joke around our house, at least, because my sister also knew this girl, that we started calling each other Lindy's whenever we'd get under each other's skin. Or, you're a pest. We were basically saying, you're a pest. Stop it. You're annoying me. You're just a Lindy. The sad thing is we've continued that little joke all to this day. And so my sisters, when they answer the phone, hi, Lindy. You know, it's just kind of, we need to change that a little bit. But on a personal level, we know what it's like to kind of make fun of people's names. Sometimes according to a characteristic or their annoying feature or whatever it is. Obviously, though, sometimes we can destroy others, and we need to be very careful about that. But it helps us kind of understand, when we take the name of the Lord in vain, when we misuse it, when we treat His name as if it's worthless or nothing, we see how demeaning and how awful this can be. And we're going to look at that in just a moment. But it is a big deal. Yahweh, Lord, I Am, is the name that earlier in this book, when Moses was confronted at the burning bush with God, God said, I want you to reveal to the nation that my name is Yahweh, or Lord, or the I Am. I want people to know that for all generations, that that is my name. I want you to revere that name. I want you to honor that name. And it was interesting, as the nation went along, as they went through the plagues, we find that the people of Israel, as well as the nation of Egypt, they began learning some very important things about this name, Yahweh. They began understanding how powerful He was and how awesome He was. And the reason why the name of God is so important, or Yahweh is so important, is because Yahweh is more than just a title. It represents His character. So every time the word Lord is used, or it's brought up, and as Moses talks about the Lord with His people, it's referring to who He is. His name stands for God Himself in all of His perfections. So it is a big deal. When you demean His name, you are demeaning His character and who He is. And so therefore, in Exodus 3, as the Lord said to Moses, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, excuse me, Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask, what is His name? God said to Moses, I am who I am. Let them know it is the great I Am who has sent you. And later on, God said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, He has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered for generation, from generation to generation. So it really is God's identity. As we begin to understand God's name, we understand that really it's more than just a name. It represents God's entire reputation. And so the nation of Egypt had to go through some very hard times. All those plagues, one after another, they saw the power and awesome demonstration of God and all He is. It is the name by which Israel would come to depend on Him for protection, salvation, guidance, and provision of their needs. So God's name represented all that He stood for. It meant holiness, sovereignty, power, self-existence, self-determining, and much, much more. So when you misuse the name of the Lord, you are slapping God in the face and saying, I don't care about who you are. That's why it's such a big deal. In the third commandment before us, we see God is jealous of His name. God doesn't want us to throw His name around with disrespect. He wants us to honor His name. So to take the Lord's name in vain, as this commands us not to do, or to misuse the name of the Lord is to view him in a bad way, to minimize him, to bring him down to our level, to diminish his splendor. And if there's anything we as a people of God ought to want to desire to do, it's to lift up the name. We've talked a lot about that. We've sung about that this morning. We lift up his name. We glorify his name. And it's not just the name alone, but it's all of his person we are lifting up, and the world desperately needs to know about that. That's why it's a big name, a big deal. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, Jesus instructed his disciples to pray in this way: Our Father, who art in heaven, what? Hallowed be your name. To hallow means to set apart as holy. It means to respect, to honor, to revere. So we use hallowed to refer to someone whom we are to treat with awe and respect. We should not treat God's name with contempt or irreverence. We should be careful to honor his name with godly reverence. So his name stands for all he represents. It stands for God himself. Here are a couple verses. Psalm chapter 8, verse 1. O Lord, our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Jeremiah chapter 10, just jot it down. Jeremiah 10, verses 6 and 7. There is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and your name is great in might. Who would not fear you, O King of the nations? For this is your due. For among all the wise ones of the nations and all their kingdoms, there is none like you. So when we lift up his name, when we glorify God's name, we are showing that God is set apart. He is holy. He is awesome. He is above all. God's name is declared in his written revelation, and it's also revealed in his living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, as we look in the book of John, again, I'll refer to it. John, write this down, John 14, 9. Jesus is here talking to Philip, and he says this: Philip, have I been with you so long and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? John chapter 17, verse 6, Jesus said in his prayer to the Father, I have manifested your name. He's praying to the Father. I have revealed, or I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of this world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. And then a glorious passage. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Again, we see how Jesus, he comes on the scenes, and he, all of a sudden, he is now claiming to be the I am. And here we read in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, an important thing about his name. It tells us instructing in verse 5, have this mind as believers, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is what? Or whom? Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we see here throughout that it is a big deal how we use the name of the Lord, how we use the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not as a swear word, not misusing his name in other ways we'll look at in just a moment, but lifting him up because it represents all of his beauty and splendor. So we see that God's name is to be revered. It's to be honored. It means something. It should not be misused. Colin Smith, in his book on the Ten Commandments, again, is talking about how we can understand this concept is when you think about a franchise, a business franchise, when you take on the name of a company, for example, like McDonald's, if you were to open up your own franchise, you have to respect their wishes when you set up the menu. You can't just come into Lake in the Hills with a McDonald's and decide to take your own menu and change it from the Big Mac to the Big Mark. You just can't do that, okay? And add your own little sauces to it. In fact, you know, I don't like coffee, so I could just say, you know, let's take the coffee off the menu and let's just have tea. Probably a lot of you would be upset with it. My dad loves the coffee at McDonald's, and he makes kind of a trek every week to Mecca to go get a little cup of coffee. He likes that. But you know what? If they found out back at the headquarters that I was calling it the Big Mark and I was serving tea instead of coffee and I was choosing to put the hash skillet, the corned beef hash skillet, as the main thing, they would say, you no longer have the right to have that franchise name. You carry a responsibility when you hold that name to run things in the right way, to treat that name with respect and carry out the wishes of management. Well, I think it kind of helps us, you know, as you think about this, just like serving a whole new menu is the wrong thing for when you have a McDonald's name franchise, there are some ways that we misuse or diminish the name of God through our actions and through wrong thinking. And so that's point number two that I'd like to get into this a little bit. What are some possible ways that the name of the Lord can be misused? What are some ways that today we may be taking the name of the Lord in vain? For most of us here this morning, I would guess that you grew up thinking that the way to keep this commandment is to keep from swearing. Okay, as long as I'm not swearing, as long as I am not cursing, or as long as I don't have a potty mouth, I am doing okay. So let's move on to the next commandment. I think there's much more than that in this particular verse. So we need to consider, in what ways do I break this commandment through my thinking or through my actions? I believe, and I'll just make this statement, I think this is how I've kind of come to this conclusion on the number of these items, is that anytime we diminish the character of God, we're taking His name in vain. Anytime we're bringing God down in our estimation, we are taking His name in vain. And so with that, I'm going to introduce you to several items here on the list of ways that we can be doing that. Again, this is the gospel according to Mark, Pastor Mark, not the Word of God. There are several that are absolutely, you'll see the first two especially are in the Word of God for sure. And the other things, I really believe they are ways that we take the name of the Lord in vain, but I can stand corrected as well. Number one, through blasphemy. Through blasphemy. Other words we use are swearing, cursing, or profanity. We have a number of students in our church who are in the public school or in public universities or college. We often hear everybody's talking religious talk there. God's name is used all the time. Jesus Christ is used all the time. In the workplace, you hear God's name mentioned a lot. However, in both cases, it's not done in a reverent or honorable way. His name is being misused. And so we need to be very careful. All the little phrases that we use, the way that we talk about our God. In fact, it was so important in the Old Testament. I'm glad we still don't operate this way today because we'd have a lot less people around. But think with me, Leviticus 24 and verses 13 to 16 say this. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, bring out of the camp the one who has cursed, and let all who heard him lay their hands on his head, and let all the congregation stone him. And speak to the people of Israel, saying, whoever curses his God shall bear his sin. Whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him, the sojourner as well as the native. When he blasphemes the name of the Lord, he shall be put to death. Wow, that's serious. That would be a humbling thing if that happened today. I'm glad we don't live under those kind of rules today, but It helps us to understand God holds this as important, His name. So what are some of the phrases we could be using, or the names? I remember as a kid, I heard some older folks saying at that time, Lordy, Lordy. Now, it seemed kind of funny at times, but then I look back and say, that's really taking His name in vain. Oh, how about today? Oh, Lord. Oh, Lordy. Or, good God. And it's not talking about the goodness of God. It's usually talking as a form of exclamation. Or how about, oh, God. As I was in a conversation with somebody the other day, throughout the conversation, it was constantly, God. Or, oh, God. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is an illustration. And I have to even be careful. Oh my goodness. See? I was thinking, that's close. And so we have to be careful. Good God, or God, or how about this on Facebook? OMG. Do you ever see that? Do you ever do that? I wonder, we ought to be careful. It stands for, oh my God. Are we taking His name in vain when we do that? I think we're coming very close, if not doing it. How about Jesus Christ? We know that. But how about Jesus? How about Judas Priest? Are we just using some substitutes that we know it's written, and everybody knows because it's euphemistic for Jesus Christ or Jesus? We need to hold ourselves to a higher standard. We need to be careful. We need to hold ourselves accountable and not develop bad habits of misusing God's name, bringing His name down to really be just ordinary speech that anybody else might use. Second, through care. Are you with me? Are you with me? Okay. All right. Through careless oaths. Through careless oaths. For a long time, people have brought God into making oaths. In fact, in the Old Testament, there's actually verses as it relates to bringing our swearing before God. It's not a bad thing until we tell lies. But we bring God into the equation in our oaths because God stands for truthfulness and reliability. We trust His character to be one of purity and holiness. He always keeps His word. So when we make vows and do not keep them, we are taking His name in vain. How about in the courtroom? I swear to tell the truth. I swear to God to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I promise to fulfill my duties with honesty and integrity. Many places, especially in the public forum, we stand and we take oaths really before God with our hand on the Bible. And what do, when they come on the jury, they promise to tell the truth. They swear to tell the truth. And there's a term that's often used, that if they fail to tell the truth, what is it? Perjury. That's telling a lie under oath. Leviticus 19:12 says this, "You shall not swear by my name falsely and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." So whether you're making if you're making an oath, you're swearing to tell the truth, stick with it. Tell the truth. Numbers 30 verse 2 says, "If a man vows a vow to the Lord and swears an oath to bind himself by a pledge, he shall not break his word." I think about weddings. When we stand before God and in the presence of God and these witnesses, we make promises before God. We ought not to take that lightly. We need to be careful as we make oaths or take oaths. Another way we misuse the Lord's name is through hypocrisy. You know, I really didn't think about this before the last couple weeks, but do you realize that when we say that we are a Christian but live in a different way, we are taking the Lord's name in vain? We are saying, I'm a Christian. I belong to God. The Lord is my Lord. And then we go out and live in any old way we want. That's taking His name in vain. That's bringing Him down in the estimation of all around us. What an awful smear to His name. Isaiah 29 verse 13 says this. The Lord says, "This people draw near with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me." I believe this is a serious offense against the name of God and His reputation. If people look at our lives throughout the course of a week, do they see that we belong to Jesus? Or are we just living for ourselves? That's why I believe the Lord really came down hard on the scribes and the Pharisees. He said, you whitewashed what? Sepulchers? You hypocrites? Over and over again. He says, you're ruining my reputation. Next one. Through inappropriate praying. I believe we are actually taking the Lord's name in vain when we are praying without reverence. When we're praying with unconfessed sin in our life. When we're praying with the wrong motives. When we're demanding of God that He answer us. There are certain individuals that really, they've written books about this, that we have the right to demand God to do things for us. I believe that's taking His name in vain. We are not to treat God like a genie in the bottle, that He has to do our every whim. We are making a mockery of His name. And then we close our prayer with, in Jesus' name, amen. How dare we go into His presence and demand and have unconfessed sin in our life and say, give me this and give me that, and not being concerned for His will. I believe it's making a mockery of His name. Here's another one. Through thoughtlessness. Through thoughtlessness. I think it's the idea of taking the name of God flippantly. We sprinkle all kinds of God phrases. And maybe just if you're taking notes, just say some of our pet catchphrases that we use that I believe are really used flippantly without much thought. Now again, I want to just mention this to you. Some of you may, I don't mean to offend you, and I say this back to myself too, that I use some of these phrases and I have to be so careful. But I wonder if sometimes when we say this, it's a God thing. What do we mean by that? If someone comes to know Christ, that's a God thing. We can say that, because that's His will. If we forgive one another, that's a God thing. If we are following God's clear commands, go ahead and use, it's a God thing. But I'm wondering, are we saying by that, because I got my own way, it's a God thing? I got my whatever. I got this material possession. And boy, it's a God thing. Be careful. Just be careful. What if everything went wrong? Can you still say it's a God thing? Because God wants, as Michael mentioned, God brings trials into our life, and that's a God thing. But do we say that? How about this? God is good. Again, God is good. But are we only saying that when everything is good? What about when we lose the job? What about when our health goes down the tubes? God is good. We can say that all God is good all the time. All the time God is good. So be careful that it's not just when it's to our liking. How about this one? God told me. Or God showed me. Or even God led me. I think we need to be very, very careful when we use these words that we're not saying, I got my own way. That's why I can say God. You know what it does sometimes? If I came up to you and say, God told me to do this, how can you combat that? You can't. Because if God told me, you can't question it. So really sometimes it limits all conversation. I can't challenge that. So be careful about these kind of uses. Phrases like these, God told me, God showed me, it implies that we have a direct hotline with God apart from His Word. We know that there are things that is revealed in His Word, and we say, God told me in His Word. No doubt about it, we can say that. But when we say something else, God told me this last night, it may be that pepperoni pizza that you had. So be careful when we use those phrases, all right? In fact, Al Mohler uses a very interesting phrase. He said, Al Mohler calls it some of this God talk or catchy phrases, manipulative God talk. And we need to be very careful. God does tell us and show us and lead us through His Word. But be careful when we go beyond that. Colin Smith said this, we need to be so careful about using God's name as an endorsement for our own ideas, because our ideas may end up with great mistakes and great problems. So be careful. How about politicians? And this again, we're under this thoughtlessness. Politicians sometimes will use God talk to help get votes. They know that it will reach out to the religious part of society. So be careful. How about athletes? All of a sudden, there's a, you know, God helped me to win the winning touchdown. God helped me to do this. Does God really care which team wins? Think about that for a moment. That'll ruin all those football fans out there, all right? But really, I think we need to be careful. What about if players on both sides are Christians and they're both praying for victory? Which one prayed? I don't know. How does that work? Does it really matter to God? I think it matters more that we play with integrity. We play within the rules, and we show forth Christ's likeness. Those are things that really, really matter. How about this? When people try to interpret all kinds of circumstances for us. Here's a couple of illustrations. I know why God did that. Have you ever had anybody say that? I know why God sent that hurricane. I know why God sent that hurricane to New Orleans, because he needed to do away with Bourbon Street. Okay, you know, there's a lot of things that we may not like in our society, but if God chose to take out every corner of America that had some elements of really bad things, the red light districts of all, he really ought, who's to choose then what's right and wrong for God to do? Remember, I've told you this before, when our son was born with all of his complications at birth, I had a wonderful person come to me and say, I know why God brought him into your life, because you have sin in your life. Now that was a real big encouragement. Or how about this? I can tell you why you have cancer, and they go on and give you all kinds of illustrations. I believe the name of the Lord is smeared when we do things like that. We have to be so careful, because God does not, we don't see that in his word. His word says this, who has known the mind of the Lord, and who has been his counselor? Here's another one. Through redefining God, we'll move along quickly. Through redefining God, we have no right, as it was brought out last in our last commandment that Jonathan brought out, we have no right to create a God of our own liking. And I think we have to be careful when we start referring to God as the man upstairs, the big guy. I think we're bringing him down to our level by reducing him to be like a product of our own liking or creation. He is not Mother Nature. He is Creator God. And so we have to be careful that we're not watering him down. In fact, Al Mohler said that we are dehydrating God when we start bringing him down to our level. He says, we're making him out to be a dehydrated deity. We are fabricating a God of our own making. There's so much more that could be that. Let's move on. Through superficial worship, I believe we have to continually ask, what are we doing? Are we really worshiping God as we meet together on a Sunday morning? I know that Pastor Jonathan goes through a lot as he works with Emily at bringing a service that is uplifting to us, but focusing our attention on Jesus Christ and our great God. And I think they do a fantastic job of that and leading us in worship. But we have to be careful. Most of the worship, not I shouldn't say that, much of the worship, many churches today, it's all about entertainment. It's about having a circus atmosphere. And I believe that brings mockery to the name of God. When it's all about people on the stage and spectators in a stadium, I think we have lost our sight of who God is. A.W. Tozer referred to worship as the missing jewel among evangelicals. When we worship, our songs, our sermons, our prayers all reveal what we think about our God. It should not be about ourselves, but our great God. We take the Lord's name in vain by violent, extremist behavior or foolishness. Some people and groups attach the name of God to awful acts of violence. For example, the Crusades of the past, terrorist groups that blow up or fly into buildings in the name of the Lord, the extremists who bomb abortion clinics, and I'll mention this name, the Westboro Baptist Church, with its extremist behavior and hatred, I believe that these are making a mockery of our Lord's name. And then the last one, through false promises. Using God's name so that leaders can amass wealth. Manipulating people to send their money so that they will be blessed more. Colin Smith talks about this as repackaging the gospel to make it attractive and appealing to the crowds. Using God's name to promote the fact of false promises of health, wealth, and happiness by prosperity teachers and preachers, I believe it's blaspheming God's name. Well, let's move on to point number 3. Are you still with me? Okay? Some things to consider. Third, there is a warning from misusing his name. As we see before us, the text, it says, "The Lord will not hold him guiltless or leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain." The Lord doesn't develop this in this particular text and go into specifics, but he warns us that there will be punishment. God takes the matter of misusing his name personally. Let's one last passage to turn to, Matthew chapter 7. Some very humbling words that Jesus gives on the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 21, says this: "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' using his name, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not do all of these things in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity.'" For the unbeliever, the one who does not know the name of Christ, the one who does not believe in God, a person without Christ and without forgiveness, the penalty will be eternal separation from God. The judgment of God will be upon them. The wrath of God remains on him. And I'm wondering, maybe today there's someone in that particular situation. You recognize that you have been taking the Lord's name in vain. You have not put your trust in Jesus Christ and the fact that of his offer for you of salvation. I encourage you, run to the Lord. Run to Jesus, and you can find forgiveness in him. For the believer this morning, there is forgiveness if we confess our sins. If you realize that you've been abusing his name, breaking his commandments, run to him, confess to him your sin. In conclusion, so what is required of the third commandment? We are required to use God's name, which represents his whole person, in a reverent way, in an honorable way. We are to honor God in the way we think about him, the way we approach him in prayer, the way we speak of him to others, and the way in which we live. God's answer to a world that blasphemes his name is a community of people gathered together, honoring his name. "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold guiltless who takes his name in vain." Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that makes it very clear. I just pray that as we consider these truths, that we might recognize in our own hearts those areas, those times when we are bringing you down to our level, when we are not living in a way that's appropriate, when we're speaking in ways that are really dishonoring to you. And so, Lord, I pray that we would be willing to change and that we would be willing to give you the glory and not diminish that in any way. In Jesus' name, amen.